WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, The Capstone, and welcome to episode 71 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Nick Atkinson and Caden Johnson. To stay up to date, make sure to follow us on Instagram at FCPPodcast_UA. With that being said, let's get into it. We are back. It has been a very long few months, very long summer. But your favorite Full Court Pressers are back with some amazing podcast content, so y'all better be ready. Real quick, let's get to a little bit of icebreaker. How was your guys' summers? Because I'm sure all 13 Full Court Press listeners are dying to know.
I had a fantastic summer.
That's awesome,
Jamie,
to hear.
I went to Hawaii.
Wow.
So that was pretty great. And I watched my Boston Celtics win the NBA Finals.
Mm.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, I took 5 classes this summer, so that's what I did. I went to Puerto Rico, and then that's about it.
Baller. I went to the Bahamas this summer and got scared because they drove on the opposite side of the road, and they said Bombaclat, and it was pretty cool. So
culture shock.
Yeah, very, very culture
shock.
You
never experienced anything like that.
No, yeah. Never in my life. This dude was, like, drinking out of a bottle, like a Tito's or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, while he was driving us back to the airport. And I was a little bit afraid, but we made it very peacefully. So I guess we could dive right back into the content. Let's start with the news. Surprising amount of news this week since we're so deep into the offseason, but let's get started with Indiana Pacers guard T.J. McConnell has agreed on a 4-year, $45 million extension with the Pacers. McConnell's contract up to $54 million over 5 years. How are we feeling about this T.J. McConnell deal? I know he kind of balled out in the playoffs, so is this worth?
Yeah, I think it's kind of great that the first thing that we're talking about this year is T.J. McConnell.
It's kicking it off right.
T.J. McConnell.
I made sure of it.
Yeah, he was good in the playoffs, especially in that Boston series. They got swept, but he was kind of like a bright spot.
Yeah, he's one of the best backup point guards in the NBA. So, I mean, I think that's a good contract, even though he's old. That'd be cool.
How old is he? Like,
he's like 31, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league for
ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a good little deal. Moving on to Nick's former favorite center. Los Angeles Clippers center Vika Zubac has agreed on a 3-year, $58.6 million contract extension with the Clippers. We kind of talked about this when it first happened back at our Casa, that Nick kind of brought up that this is a pretty cheap deal for a very, very solid center. So how are we feeling about the Zubac deal? Now that the Clippers look way different.
Well, yeah, they're not going to be good at all. But I think that, like, the contract itself, though, that's a really cheap contract for a pretty decent player. Like, DeAndre Ayton isn't too much better than him, and he's getting paid $50 million more than him. So,
really?
I mean, Ayton's a $150-something million deal, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good signing. Good rebounding. And I think it's kind of clear that they want him as their
cornerstone.
Yeah. As their franchise big.
Yeah,
he really is. Like, he's going to spend his whole career in Los Angeles probably, unless they just blow the whole thing up, which could be coming soon. They need, like,
they blew up half of it already.
Year from Kawhi again, where he just locks in and plays 70 games.
Yeah. So how much better do we think Zubac will get this season without PG and Russ?
Not any. I mean, he has James Harden, but, like, off the bench, he doesn't really have nothing to.
I think we've seen what Zubac is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think there's anything left to.
He hit a ceiling.
Cover.
I agree. Yeah, for
Zubac.
Sure.
Which isn't bad. Like, it's not like he's bad. I'm
great
just
center.
Saying.
Top
what
20
we've
center
seen
yeah.
of him
mm-hmm.
is what he is.
Yeah.
I agree. Moving on to some bigger news that we probably should have started with, but Golden State Warriors star Stephen Curry has agreed to a 1-year, $62.6 million extension that'll keep him under contract through the 2026-27 season. That is a lot of money for 1 year. Through 2027, he's going to be pushing 40 years old. He might be 40 years old by that time. Do we think $62 million is worth it for somebody who's going to be 40 by then?
I mean, dude, no, I don't think it is. No,
for somebody of caliber,
even though he's one of the greatest of all time, that's way too much money for that. That's a 2-year deal.
Yeah,
yeah. I think as like for Steph as a player, it's not worth it. But for Steph, from a business perspective, it probably is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to keep attendance high.
Merchandise sales.
Merchandise sales going to be through the roof, obviously, when you have one of the greatest players of all time. So I think it makes sense from a business perspective. I think I talked to Nick the other day about how, like, the Warriors are kind of packing it in. They're kind of – I think they're just going to ride out some of these old careers like Draymond and Steph.
Yeah.
And then go into complete rebuild mode after that. And I think this kind of confirms it. They want to keep the core they have around. They don't really care about team success mm-hmm. as much as just kind of keeping the core they have before they blow things up.
Yeah, because I think by then you're going to have a 40-year-old Stephen Curry who's not going to be nearly the player he is now. He's going to be surrounded by like a Brandon Podziemski, Jonathan Kuminga maybe, Moses Moody maybe. That team is not going to be that good. I'm assuming Draymond will retire by then. Yeah, the Warriors' future, I couldn't tell you. They have their cool young stars, but without Steph Curry, they are not nearly the same. And our last little piece of news, free agent guard Lonnie Walker has agreed on a one-year deal with the Boston Celtics, his agent says. This is a great deal for the Celtics, in my opinion. The Celtics really didn't lose much other than Svi Mykhailiuk in the offseason.
O'Shea Brissett.
Yeah, and O'Shea Brissett. And this is kind of the O'Shea Brissett replacement in Lonnie Walker, who was great last season. I'm surprised he even lasted this long. Shot 38% from three with Brooklyn. I don't know how the Celtics landed somebody like him, but, man, that's great if they're looking for a repeat.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I just think he's a bucket getter. I think he can create instant offense, and he's performed well in playoff games before. So kind of everything that Boston was looking for in a potential replacement for a backup wing, which we lost in O'Shea Brissett.
Yeah. All right. With that, we can move on to our main segment, looking back at this NBA offseason. We kind of talked about starting with the finals, but I kind of forgot to put that in the doc. So if we have time, we can get to that at the end. And maybe we can talk about Team USA and whatever. But I kind of want to start talking about trades, free agency, all that fun stuff that happened over the offseason and what we think about it and how it will affect those teams. So
rate the trades?
Yeah, we could rate it for each team. Yeah.
What are you feeling? One through five? 1 through 10?
1 through 17 or something.
Yeah. 1 through 5 is cool.
Okay, yeah, 1 through 5. All right, let's get it started with the first trade of the offseason. Happened, I don't even think it was during the offseason. I'm pretty sure it was still playoffs.
Right when OKC got eliminated.
So the Oklahoma City Thunder acquire Alex Caruso from the Chicago Bulls, trading away young guard Josh Diddy Giddy. So the Oklahoma City Thunder get one of the top perimeter defenders in the league, and the Bulls receive a great playmaker for, you know, his age. So how are we feeling about this? Let's start with Caruso to the Thunder. How do we feel about that?
I'll give it a C-.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Caruso to the Thunder, C-. I don't think it's like a bad move for either team. I think Caruso will bring a lot to the Thunder. He kind of gives them something they already have, though, so it's more of like a depth piece, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he really starts. So I think he's going to a reduced role. I feel like that's kind of stating the obvious. But it will help strengthen an already really strong, probably top three defense in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a B, because I think they traded away one of their top – not just playmakers, but young guys and Josh Giddey for an aging Alex Caruso, who I think is 32, 33 now, and really only plays defense, not the greatest shooter on the planet, and doesn't really create his own shot. So trading somebody that young and with that potential for a perimeter defender, albeit one of the best in the league, I'll give it a B.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go B too.
Yeah, that's valid. But the reason I don't think it's that good is because, like you said, he can't create his own shot. He's old. And even whenever you say he's this good of a perimeter shooter or whatever, like, he's been on the Chicago Bulls playing meaningless basketball for 3 years. Like, I don't know how much I value that defense or the amount of points he scored or the assists or the steals. Because, I mean, him and Andre Drummond were, like, you know, Magic Johnson and Kareem. Like, really.
Just empty stat margins.
Yeah, really.
All right, going to the other half of this deal, the Bulls acquire Josh Giddey, kind of like we said. Nick, how you feeling about this one?
A-.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a really high return, low risk.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I'm going to go A- as well. I think Giddey is better than Caruso, if not next year, the year after. I think Giddey has a lot of upside as a playmaker. And I think he's going to be a starting point guard in the league. for his career.
And he actually gets to play.
I like the move for the Bulls. I know a lot of people hated. They got a lot of flack when this trade went down. But I mean, I just don't see how it's a bad trade for the Bulls. They're a rebuilding franchise, and they just got a young piece and gave away a kind of like a, you know, just a
old player.
An aging, decent player.
Yeah, I really like this for the Bulls. I would give them an A minus to an A in that range. You get a great playmaker to pair alongside Coby White, who had a huge breakout season. Really boosted his points up. I can understand the empty stats type of thing, but Coby White's legit.
Oh, he was good. Yeah,
he's legit. He's the real deal. It's good to see him really turn his career around because it was looking kind of down for those first couple seasons. But they get Josh Giddey, who's going to play make for them. I think he's really young. He can grow right alongside Coby White, and I think they'll benefit from this in the long haul. They add Matas Buzelis through the draft. I like what they got cooking over in Chicago, so I'll go a little A- for them. Moving on, we have a draft day trade where the San Antonio Spurs and the Minnesota Timberwolves made a deal. The Spurs receiving two first-round picks, one in 2031, that's unprotected, and a 2031 pick swap for the Timberwolves, who received the eighth pick, which ended up being Rob Dillingham. So, Nick, I'll start with you, being our Rob Dillingham associate. How do you feel about this deal?
I think it's amazing. I think, yeah, I'll give like an A+ because
for the Timberwolves?
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of people don't really think that he has like good potential, but I think he does because, like, you know, he was coming off the bench, 13-ish points per game. I think he was the third highest in three-point percentage in the nation, and then he also is a great defender. Like, I think a lot of people are trying to limit him to a six-man role. I think he's going to be an all-star at some point.
Interesting. So, yeah, you think he's going to be the successor to Mike Conley?
Yeah, I mean, he'll start over Mike Conley next year. Not this upcoming season, the one after. I mean, Mike Conley will be 40 years old.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, so. I like that.
And then for the Spurs, I mean, two first-round picks. Why not, you know?
Yeah, I give it an A for the Timberwolves, definitely. I think it's a low risk. The draft picks are like middle schoolers right now. I guess it is, you know, two first for a top 10 pick, but and I don't know if Rob Dillingham is worth two first on any other year, but since it's 2030 and 2031, it's low risk. I think Rob Dillingham is a good piece for the Timberwolves. He gives them good bench scoring. They've been kind of searching for a bench guard, and I think he'll fill that role well. I'm not as high on him as Nick is. But I still think he'll be a pretty solid NBA player after a few years of development.
Yeah.
And he's a bucket getter.
I agree. I would give this Rob Dillingham part probably an A- or an A. Dillingham's legit. I know it caught some hate on draft night because everybody wanted Dillingham to go to the Spurs and play with Wembanyama, and he got...
That would have made so much more sense. That's why I was so confused that the Spurs didn't just pick Rob Dillingham. Mm-hmm. That would have made a lot more sense.
Probably because they ended up with Castle.
I think he's a little bit better than Dillingham.
Yeah.
Who?
Stephon Castle.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But for Dillingham, I think even if he doesn't reach that all-star level and you get somebody on the level of, like, a Jamal Crawford or a Lou Williams out of him, I think it was worth it.
Sure.
That's for really sure. Legit. Yeah. And then in 20...
We already have that with Terrence Shannon.
Yeah, and then exactly. I was going to bring that up, too. Terrence Shannon looks really legit as a scorer, and he can really create his own shot at the NBA level. And then for the Spurs, you're getting two picks in 2030 and 2031. Yeah, it's a long time away. But by then, Victor Wembanyama is probably going to be the best player in basketball, and you're going to get, you know, two guys that'll help him out at that time. So I guess it all works out. I think the Spurs, I'll give them like a B+ or like a B for it. And the Timberwolves, I'll give it A. I like this deal. I think it's a win-win.
I'd go C+ for the Spurs to C area. I mean, I just think it was pointless. I see what you're saying about how you're preparing for the heavy for the future, but I just don't know if I think that I would think that far in advance. I would kind of address needs that needed to be met now. You know what I'm saying? They could have drafted a defensive wing. They could have drafted a backup big for Zach Collins. I don't know. I just don't see what was going on in their head. You have a top 8 pick. You could have paired two lottery picks with the previous first overall pick that just won Rookie of the Year, and you just kind of give one away for nothing.
Yeah. I can also see them, you know, being like, this class is kind of weak. Maybe 2030, 2031
that
will be, like, legit classes.
Yeah.
So that's really all I can think of.
I just don't think that even then, like, Anthony Edwards is going to be 28 in 2030.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not like you're getting a good pick then, unless he's injured or something.
Yeah, and they're both.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
They both belong to the
Timberwolves. Those aren't going to be unprotected or not. It's going to be a 25.
Yeah.
Pick at best. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
That's true. Moving on to the absolute biggest trade ever. The Wizards receive Jonas Valanciunas, and the Pelicans get a second-round pick. I just put this in prematurely, not realizing how big the other ones after it were. So we could just, you know, be kind of brief with this one. Wizards getting Valanciunas. How do we feel?
I don't know why they did it. I really don't know why they did it, but, I mean.
Poverty franchise makes poverty moves.
Yeah.
No one's surprised. This is a Wizards-esque move. I think Jonas Valanciunas is a pretty solid offensive center. And a pretty horrible defensive
center. He's awful.
Yeah, that's
so
a good way to put
he's
it.
Gonna give the Wizards like 14 to 16 points per game and like 9 to 11 rebounds, and also get 40 dropped on his head every time he plays Embiid or any other competent center.
Yeah, I mean they went from having Daniel Gafford, who I mean went to Dallas and turned out to be really legit, and now you're stuck with a very old Jonas Valanciunas.
Well, what's Valanciunas' new contract?
Dude, it's like
15 million. Yeah, that's what
a year.
I was thinking. Yeah, and that's just dumb.
Yeah,
just stupid.
And why would you do that whenever you just drafted the best center in the class?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's this is one of the worst moves we've had.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about today. I'd give that a D on the Wizards.
Yeah, I'd give it a D.
Just because you're throwing money at a lateral
old
piece.
Player that can't play any defense. That's like I mean, he was a joke against the Thunder.
Yeah, and it's not like he could play power forward next to Sar.
Well, Sar could play the four.
That's true, but I don't know.
They're both big bodies.
Exactly.
Like they're just
Jonas can't move.
That's not like a good combination to be on the court at the same time. They don't complement each other well.
Because one of them's got to play the bench because Koulibaly.
They got rid of Denny Advia too.
Yeah, you can't run Kuz, Sar, and Valanciunas
and
at the
Koulibaly,
same time. You can't even
yeah.
think about that.
No.
Yeah.
That'd be the worst defensive team ever.
They got Malcolm Brogdon, too, didn't they? Didn't they get Malcolm Brogdon?
That's what I'm saying. They're so poverty.
They're
going
to give up 165 points a game.
This is like such a Wizards-Hornets
move.
Like,
yeah.
Wizards and the Hornets are the only teams in the NBA that would make a trade like this.
Yeah.
Like, you're mid-rebuild. Like, you're blowing everything up. You have a top-two pick. And you trade for Jonas Valanciunas and sign him and extend him. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a long-term deal, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost as bad as the Ian Mahimi.
W for the Pelicans. Get rid of Valanciunas.
Yeah.
That's like $15
million. They get a second-round pick out of it, too.
And you can get a better center.
Yeah,
I give that like an A for them, A-.
All right, moving on to a trade that happened the same day but is a whole lot bigger. It also involves the Pelicans. The Pelicans receive all-star guard DeJounte Murray from the Atlanta Hawks, and the Hawks get Dyson Daniels, E.J. Liddell, Larry Nance Jr., Cody Zeller, a 2025 first from the Lakers, and a 2027 first that is least favorable of the Bucks Pelicans' top four protected. So this is big time because I think this pushes the Pelicans into being legit contenders. Even though it is a absolutely stacked Western Conference, the Pelicans are going to be a threat to anybody as long as they stay healthy, because I know that's been their biggest issue for a long time. And they get rid of Larry Nance, who isn't a huge contributor. Dyson Daniels, I think, is the biggest piece out of this.
I like Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah.
2025 first is
that's pretty,
is
big,
pretty
too.
Big.
It's the Lakers pick, too.
Yeah.
And LeBron will probably be gone next year.
That's
true. It's this year, so they'll be all right this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll still be like a top 20 pick.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
Should be.
But, yeah, I mean, I think the – Getting two first, and then on top of that, some young players, two for the Hawks. It is a good trade for both sides.
Yeah.
I think the Pelicans needed a better defensive guard, if
Real
that makes sense.
Guard.
I mean, Dyson Daniels is what they wanted. They wanted Dyson Daniels to kind of be like a DeJounte Murray, but he just doesn't have the offensive game, and I don't think he'll be able to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
So DeJounte gives them the kind of the best of the both worlds. They get a defender that's defends just as well as Dyson Daniels, but can create his own shot and give you 30 on any given night.
It's true. It kind of sucks to see that the Murray and Trae Young era didn't really pan out the way Atlanta wanted it to. It was a bit of a confusing move in the first place, having two primary point guards put together. I mean, the Hawks got something out of it, at least, and the Pelicans got a whole lot better since they have a legit point guard that they have not had.
That's what they've been looking
for this whole
time. Yeah.
So I think this is perfect. I would give both sides an A.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of wins, so I like this.
Yeah,
I'd agree with
that.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right, moving on. So another huge deal that happened on the same day. The New York Knicks receive Mikal Bridges, Kata Bates-Diop, and Juan Pablo Valet, whoever that is, from the Brooklyn Nets, who received Bojan Bogdanović,
Mamadi Diakite.
Yeah, he's got that one. Shake Milton, and six first-round picks.
Wow, that's six. Ridiculous, dude. That's more picks than they traded to get KD.
Yeah, the Knicks, I think the Knicks dropped the ball on this one. Like, I think you bought in a little too much to this Villanova stuff.
This is an all or nothing deal.
I don't hate
McCall
as a player by any means. He's a really great, great two-way wing. But he's not six first-round picks great. And then on top of that, throw in Bojan and Shake Milton, who I feel like were being underutilized by the Knicks.
And the Knicks, it just sucks because the Knicks have, like, the most stacked bench ever. And they're just not going to get used. And now they get Mikal Bridges, who you're going to have a full Villanova starting five or starting four. Plus Julius Randle. So, I mean, that starting lineup is going to be good and their bench is going to be good. But if they don't win a championship within the next two seasons, this is a huge.
I mean, yeah.
I think we know.
I got some bad news.
Because there's a team in that same conference that I don't know if they're going to be able to beat. I
mean, and there's like four teams
out
west,
in the West. Yeah,
that they're not going to beat either.
This is a big deal for the Knicks. I don't know. I'd give the Knicks like a C.
Yeah, I agree. C is fine because it's like obviously, like you were saying, and they kept OG too. So I mean, they got a good roster. Probably the third best roster in the East, maybe
second. It's
probably
the Knicks' best roster in decades since
Pat Ewing.
Starks. Yeah.
It's definitely
they're pretty poverty. Which I mean, I guess if you want to talk about roster, they had like the early 2010s.
Mellow
and JR.
One first
Tyson Chandler,
exit for that
Stoudemire,
team.
But this team's has way more depth. And I think is a lot better defensively. Plus, you have Brunson, who could take over a game. We've seen he's one of the best point guards in the league.
Yeah, they got to stay healthy, too, though.
Exactly. Julius Randle was dealing with a lot.
You could trade him easy and get some depth at center.
Get some of those picks back, too, maybe.
Yeah, six first is ridiculous. They're trading their entire future away for four Villanova people on the same team.
So, legit, they're only going to have a pick in 2026 and 2030. So, you're gonna have two first-round picks for the next 6 years.
They're just going to turn – if this doesn't work out, which I think they'll keep Brunson there long-term, like another 10 years.
He signed the extension, too.
I think they'll keep
– on a really cheap
all
deal.
All those guys there. But, I don't know.
Definitely a little bit of a head-scratcher, but a move to try and get them back in contention, make them more of a contenders with a loaded Boston Celtics roster. So, we'll see how that pans out. Moving on, we have the first ever six-team trade in the history of basketball. That also happened on July 6th. The Dallas Mavericks received Klay Thompson and a 2025 second. The Timberwolves received two seconds and cash considerations. The Warriors received Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield. The Nuggets received a little bit of cash. The Hornets received Josh Green, Reggie Jackson, and two seconds. And the Sixers received a second. A whole lot going down. I don't know if we should really give a grade to all these teams.
Nah,
like
just,
the Nuggets, who just got money.
There's
who
no
cares?
Point.
But we could just talk about the bigger ones, like obviously Dallas. We'll start with them, who received Klay Thompson, who's leaving the Warriors after all of these years, a very storied career, and he goes to Dallas, who's coming off a finals loss. How do we think this benefits Dallas?
Well, in my opinion, they're going to get worse because I liked Derrick Jones Jr. there. I like Josh Green there. And they replace him with somebody that can't play defense anymore. Like, Klay Thompson is not a good defender anymore. He was elite, like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when they were winning the finals every year. But now he's just kind of a liability on offense and defense. He is. He can shoot. But, like, even then, it's sometimes, you know,
good. I think they pulled the trigger on this because they shot so poorly in the finals in a few of those games. They shot, like, 2 for 50 from three in the
Josh
NBA
Green
finals.
Is an atrocious shot.
Oh, he's horrible.
It was bad.
Terrible.
Like, literally so bad on
And, like,
offense.
Kyrie was crumbling. Luka couldn't get it really going from three. He had to do everything else. Derrick Jones wasn't hitting him. P.J. Washington was missing everything. So I think they went out and got Klay to kind of, you know, when somebody's cold, you give it to Klay. But Klay went 0 for 10 in an elimination game. So hopefully he could turn it around because I think Klay Thompson could be a really cool piece for the Mavericks. But who knows what kind of Klay Thompson they're about to get.
Yeah, I think he's better than Tim Hardaway.
Oh, yeah. That's not hard to do.
Yeah, so, I mean,
he
I think
didn't
want to
be
cool.
there anyway.
He'll start, and I think he'll be good. But I don't know if they got better or worse, to be honest with you. I agree with what Nick said. I think DJJ was really good for them.
Yeah.
And they should have prioritized Luka. They should have prioritized keeping him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have kept him over PJ Washington.
Yeah.
Honestly,
He went to the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
Probably just for that starting role.
Best defender on the team, aside from Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, by far. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
Yeah.
All right. So Timberwolves get 2 seconds in cash. You know.
That's nothing.
It's whatever. We'll move on to the Warriors, who receive slow-mo Kyle Anderson and Buddy Buckets, Buddy Hield. You know, they get older on a team that's already old. How does this make us feel?
No, I think this is a very good move because I think that Buddy Hield, I don't know if it's crazy to say, I think he's better than Klay Thompson now in 2024. I think he's better. Then Kyle Anderson gives them versatility that they didn't have last year. So you're replacing Chris Paul with D'Anthony Melton. And then you're just adding on Kyle Anderson, and then you're replacing Clay with Buddy Hield, who's a better offensive player. He's not that great on defense, but it's just, I think they're going to get better. I think they'll be better next year.
Yeah, I do too. I think this move makes them a decent bit better. One thing that the Warriors have been lacking are role players that are consistent. Like, they'll have one of their young guys pop off for a week span, and then kind of go back into the shadows. I think Kyle Anderson is a guy that knows how to play his role, and I think Buddy Hield does as well. I think they'll contribute. They're vets. You know, they've made a name for themselves perfecting what they do. Kyle Anderson plays defense and can give you a little bit of a mid-range game, and then Buddy Hield is just a knockdown shooter, and they've perfected, you know, what they're good at. I think having reliable role players is a step in the right direction for the Warriors as they try to, like, put together one more playoff run in Steph's career.
Yeah. And then we have the Nuggets, who just get money. Who cares? And then the Hornets receive 2 seconds, Josh Green and Reggie Jackson. How do we feel about this for the Hornets?
Nothing. That's nothing. Reggie Jackson will probably be bought out by midseason because he's just – I mean – What value does he bring to that? He won't even touch the court, honestly, because, you know, you got Trey Mann backing up LaMelo now. So, uh-huh. I mean,
if LaMelo can stay healthy.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll be healthy this year. But, I think Reggie Jackson will get bought out. Dude, honestly, I don't even know if Reggie Jackson should be in the NBA. I'm just saying, like, John Wall is better than Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Who else is a free agent? Isaiah Thomas is better than Reggie Jackson. Like, there's plenty of point guards that are better than him.
And then what about Josh Green? You think he'll play?
He's good. He's a great defender. I think if he developed a little bit of an offensive game, he could be in the NBA another 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think Josh Green will be solid for the Hornets, probably off the bench. He'll probably back up Miles.
Yeah.
Bridges. And the Hornets are kind of sneaky. If LaMelo can stay healthy, Brandon Miller takes another big step, and then LaMelo stays healthy, then, they could mess around and snag the 10. Or the 9 for sure.
I mean,
they have the
really
pieces. So I'm saying offensively that you got B-Mill, Bridges, and LaMelo.
And Mark Williams.
Yeah.
And Trey Mann's really good too.
Yeah.
They have the pieces. They just got to put them together. And LaMelo has to stay healthy because that's been a problem for the last two seasons. I want to see him and Brandon Miller just dominate really bad because I really like that combo and I think they play off each other really well. It's just LaMelo, I don't know, can't stay on the court. It's probably because of those shoes. Then the Sixers get a second round pick. It is what it is. Let's move on to July 8th, where the Sacramento Kings and the Chicago Bulls are involved in a three-team trade with the Spurs. The Bulls receive Chris Duarte, Raekwon Gray from San Antonio, and two future second-round picks. The Kings receive DeMar DeRozan, and the Spurs get Harrison Barnes and a 2023 first-round pick swap. I'll start with this one. Hallelujah is how I'll start this off. Sacramento getting DeMar DeRozan, to me, is huge. We had kind of been shopping around for a really good forward for a long time. I know we inquired about Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma and Lauri Markkanen.
OG Anunoby.
I remember being so mad about not getting OG Anunoby last year on the trade deadline. But we end up with DeMar DeRozan, which I think is perfect. Because, yes, three-point shooting is going to be a bit of a problem. It is what it is. But DeMar can create his own shot. He's one of, if not the best, mid-range shooter in the league. He can get to the basket. He's a little bit older, I know that, but... I think if the Kings are trying to get to the playoffs now in a loaded Western Conference, this was the necessary move to get somebody who needs to win now. Plus, DeMar gets to go back to California, so good for them. And we get rid of Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes has made me so mad on so many occasions. I had to break stuff because of Harrison Barnes. He was just missing corner threes. He would post pictures on his Instagram of him missing corner threes. I don't know what
that
goes through
that. The airballed
one?
Yes. Like the one that he like
yes.
just straight up airballed?
And
yeah.
he posted the picture of that. I don't know what goes through this dude's mind, but I'm so glad that Harrison Barnes is off this team. I know he'll be able to, you know, put some points up with the Spurs and Wemby, but, you know, whatever. And the Bulls get Chris Duarte, a couple pieces. Duarte didn't do anything in Sacramento, really. So, yeah, I think I'm going to give the Kings a little A- on this. I think they got what they need to try and win now, even though they won't. Spurs, I'll give them like a B- or like a C+. Bulls, yeah. I don't know, like a C.
Yeah, Bulls messed around yeah. for too long, and now they get Chris Duarte in 2 seconds for DeMar DeRozan.
That is true.
So that's what happens when you are too scared to commit to a rebuild when you're consistently in the play-in. I think Chris Duarte has some potential. I think he showed that in Indiana, but not in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. 2 second-round picks could be nice for them. But as for the Kings, I think you nailed it. I think it's a good piece for them now. Obviously, it doesn't mean much for the future of the Kings, but this piece alone will ensure that they make the playoffs, in my
yeah.
opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll give the Kings a B. I'll give the Bulls a F.
Yeah,
and I'll give
that's
the Spurs a C plus.
I mean, it's hard not to be high on this trade for the Kings because they didn't give anything up.
Well, that's why.
Like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like DeMar DeRozan's not like a crazy valuable piece, but it's like.
But you didn't give.
But I mean, I'll take
him
if
yeah.
you're just gonna give him to me
I mean,
for free. You know.
To me, upgrading from Harrison Barnes and Chris Duarte to DeMar DeRozan, especially when Duarte got his job taken from Keon Ellis, who's starting now, I just think this is a W all around. So I'm gonna give it an A for the Kings. But I think everybody else kind of gets their stuff too, except the Bulls. I don't know what they're doing. Spurs got Harrison Barnes. Good for them. Let's move on to the last trade that I have in here. On July 18th, the Clippers deal Russell Westbrook to the Jazz in a sign-and-trade. The Jazz receive a second-round pick swap, cash, and Russell Westbrook. The Clippers get Chris Dunn. Obviously, Westbrook was bought out and sent to Denver. So I guess we'll put it in that perspective with Westbrook going to Denver. And the Clippers getting Chris Dunn and the Jazz getting whatever.
Yeah, nobody cares about the Jazz or the Clippers in yeah. this deal.
No, nobody does.
No. Yeah. We'll just talk about Russ going to the Nuggets.
Sure. I'll let one of y'all pilot that one.
Okay. I think it's a good move for them. I think it's a nice little boost. They've been missing some dogs, losing Bruce Brown, and then this year losing KCP. I think he gives them a good winning mentality, a strong mentality. Going forward, he'll be nice in the playoffs. If he can play his role there a little bit better, he's not going to be feeling like he needs to do as much offensively as he's felt that he's needed to the last couple of playoffs with the Clippers. So I think Russell Westbrook can kind of sit back and do what he does best in the playoffs, which is defend at this point in his career, which is defend and playmake. And I think he'll do just that for them.
Yeah, I really like the steal for Denver as well, because you're going to get Westbrook, who, like you said, he's gonna be a beast in the playoffs, but he's gonna playmake in a new way that somebody like Michael Porter Jr. or Christian Brown is really gonna benefit off of, because a lot of their points come from Jokic kicking out from the post. Now they're gonna get more passes from the perimeter, off the drive and kick. I like this deal. Westbrook's gonna play his role. He did it really well on the Clippers. He doesn't really have to do a whole lot. He doesn't have to do all of the playmaking either with Jokic there, so. He can kind of do, you know, take a little break on that. And I really like this deal. He's going to be a great sixth man.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that completely. Yeah, I think it'll be kind of weird to see him and Jokic on the court together, because I really think them two are the only playmakers on the team.
Well, hear me out. I don't know how much Russ will play with Jokic.
I think
Russ gives them a different dynamic. When with Jokic, he can kind of be the centerpiece and play from the paint. Whether it be kick out to MPJ or kick out to another corner or pick and roll with Jamal, I think Russ gives them more of a downhill attack. I expect to see Russ play with like Peyton Watson, Christian Brown a little bit, and Aaron Gordon some, because if you get those guys cutting back door, Russ is going to be able to hit them on a lob, and the paint's going to be clear from not having Jokic in there.
Yeah,
that's actually a really good point.
Forgot about that whole Aaron Gordon part. That's a really good point. That's great for him. And that is it for the trades for the offseason. We can move on to free agency. I'll start with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They threw a lot of money at re-signing people. They didn't add anybody. They didn't lose anybody. But they threw a lot of dollars at Jared Allen, Donovan Mitchell, and Evan Mobley. Allen and Mitchell got 3-year extensions. Evan Mobley got 5 years. So How are we feeling about Cleveland?
It's just, I mean, I don't know. I guess because they were injured, they kind of, I don't really think that they're going to be good at all. In terms of, they'll be good. I don't think they're going to ever get out of the first round, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at best, get out of the first round. But I will say that they're showing faith in Evan Mobley, and that's fine. You know, he deserves the money, I would say, and he deserves a long contract because obviously he's proven as a valuable defender in the NBA. But now it's just on him. Like, you got to get in the gym, man. Like, you've got to become a better offensive player. You've got to be able to shoot the ball better. You've got to learn how to at least create a little bit, especially get some better interior footwork offensively, because he's already got the weapons. He's got the frame, and he's got the shot blocking, and defensively he's almost a perfect center defensively, but his offensive game has been lacking and is killing them in the playoffs. He's got to improve there.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's a little sad that they extended these three guys, but they didn't add literally anybody outside of the draft, which I don't really remember.
Yeah, you're basically just committing to saying, like, okay, let's just do exactly what we did last year.
Exactly. And it's proven that unless Evan Mobley takes a huge step forward, they're not going to compete in the East with a team like Boston,
with a team like the Knicks.
No, not even Orlando, who had a KCP, which we'll get to later, because that was a really good signing, in my opinion. So, Cleveland, I don't know what's going through your mind. Donovan Mitchell, I don't even know if he wants to be there, because he wanted to be a Knick.
He definitely
Knicks,
does want to be there.
Yeah,
he
I think he does.
It's a lot of money
I think
now.
He's happy with it. I don't know how many fans want this core to be together, but it seems like
they want to trade
cool
Garland and they want to trade Garland and Mobley and keep Donovan Mitchell.
I mean,
Jared Allen.
That's what I was kind of hinting at with Mobley. At some point, as a Cleveland fan, you got to get like pissed. Yeah. Like, it's like, dude, he was a top 3-2 pick, I think, second or third. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
It's Cade.
But there's just been no development on the offensive game. And it's like, you can't just have that be your story every year, every single year. It's people saying, well, dude, you're an awesome defender. You make a great impact on the team. You can play make a little bit, too, from the paint. But offensively and scoring, like, you cannot give us buckets whenever Don's having a bad night or DG's not having a great night or Jared Allen can't get open. Because, you know, mm-hmm. Jared Allen's obviously not going to give you a lot offensively.
And Strus isn't consistent at all.
Yeah, and neither is Caris LeVert. We know that. He'll go 1-for-15 out there.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Isaiah Hartenstein leaves the Knicks and goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder on a 3-year contract. I know some people that are big on this deal. How do you guys feel?
You go first because I'm not big on it.
Yeah, I am. I think this is the most underrated deal of the offseason. I think this is a bigger move for the Thunder than getting Alex Caruso.
I agree.
Hartenstein showed what he was about last year on the Knicks. He showed that when he's utilized the right way, he can ball. Like, he can play. He can seriously play. He can score. And he's a big presence down low. He's an aggressive rebounder, which is exactly what the Thunder needed. They needed a quicker big to pair down there along with Chet, and I think they'll complement each other well because I think both of them can space the floor. And with that being said, I think this move is what makes the Thunder the clear-cut best team in the West next year and a 60-win team, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with that. I think this is a big A-plus deal for the Thunder, who are going to get a really legit big man to pair with somebody like Chet Holmgren and play really well with that really loaded bench that they have and play off Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Alex Caruso. And the Thunder are a threat in the Western Conference, to say the least, and a threat in the NBA. They're probably a top 3 team in the league, and they're young. They're gonna only get better, and they have all those picks. They have it all. So I mean, if you're OKC, they're set for the future. So I think this is a real knockout the park type of deal.
Yeah, I'll give it an A. I think it's a good deal, regardless of bias and everything like that. I think it is a good deal. Yeah, that's really it. I don't have any negatives to say about it.
Moving on, the Orlando Magic signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on a 3-year contract. I love this for Orlando because last season all they were really missing was that shooting ability, and you get KCP, who could shoot with the best of them. He's proven that time in and time out with Denver. He's got 2 rings on his finger now and looking to make it 3 with a very young Orlando Magic team who are only getting better from now. Paolo Banchero can play make really well. You got Jalen Suggs, who's kind of like the Drew Holiday of that team. Orlando's looking really good, and I think KCP's a big addition.
Yeah, huge deal. It's an overpay, but
how much is it
worth? Dude, I think it might be like 25. I think it's like roughly $75 million, 3 years.
Wow.
I might be just talking, but I think it's a pretty big deal.
It's 3 years, $66 million, $22 million a year.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
pretty insane.
It's a lot of money, but I think for what they were looking for, and they haven't really paid a lot of their guys yet because they're young, I guess it's cool for now because they're going to get that shooting that they've been missing for so long.
Yeah, they wanted Clay, and you got probably a better player
better
than Clay.
They want Paul George,
but,
too.
I mean, I just don't know if I'm paying KCP $22 million. It kind of sucks for the Nuggets more than anything because it's like obviously they're not going to match $22 million on KCP, but he was a really valuable piece to them. But the Magic did have the money to spend, and they used it on KCB, who I think will be pretty valuable for them, and kind of fits their scheme of everybody on the team can play on-ball defense, and then on top of that gives them shooting that they really miss bad. They really need some shooting.
Yeah. Could you imagine if the Nuggets would have kept KCP and added Westbrook though? I think then they'd probably be considered by far the second best team in the NBA. If they kept KCP.
NBA.
I don't think they're better than the Thunder.
If they keep KCP, add Westbrook, add Saric, keep Peyton Watson.
Yeah,
Christian
I still
Brown,
don't think they're better
I
than the
think
Thunder.
They
not in the regular season.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
but
in the playoffs.
I think I don't think that the Thunder are gonna beat them or the Timberwolves or the Mavericks in a 7-game series.
Huh. I can see it. Moving on, I just have the Philadelphia 76ers here because they were very busy in free agency. First off, they re-signed Kyle Lowry, KJ Martin, Tyrese Maxey, who had a 5-year extension. Very, very good deal for him. And Kelly Oubre on a 2-year. But then they added Andre Drummond on a 2-year deal, Paul George on a 4-year deal, Eric Gordon on a 2-year, Reggie Jackson, Caleb Martin, and Gershon Yabusele, who really balled out in the Olympics, and that landed him that contract. So Philly really loaded up for Joel Embiid this season because I think now is the time that they have to go all out. A lot of these teams in the NBA really added. So how do we feel about Philly?
They're so good, dude.
But
like,
they're not
going to
be
it
that good, though.
Like, I hate it. I hate it. But this is the best Philadelphia team that I've seen.
But when it comes to the playoffs, you have Joel who, you know, not the greatest playoff performer, and he was hurt going into last season. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but
and Paul George now,
prime 2016 Steph Curry, hidden in there, but he's just by the alternate ego of Caleb Martin.
Yeah.
They play the Celtics.
Like,
they're
specifically designed, dude. I'm telling you, I can already see it now. Caleb Martin is 7-for-7 from three in the third quarter.
Kyle Lowry's in
and
there too.
And Gershon Yabusele is like on
Drummond.
His revenge game. With like 25.
Yeah,
and
he posterizes
Tatum.
Yeah,
I can see it.
Philly's really good. I'm gonna give them like an A plus type offseason.
Yeah, me too.
They probably
me
have
too.
The best offseason in the NBA.
Yes,
definitely. Because you're gonna add Paul George. They were looking for that third star, and they land PG-13. So I love that. Andre Drummond.
And Kelly Oubre's playing for like nothing, dude.
Exactly. Chump change.
But I will say, last year, you know who you said had the best offseason?
Who did
the
I
Lakers.
Say?
And
I did say that, didn't I?
And they ended up terrible.
That was awesome. That was really awesome.
I mean, yeah, it's awesome to me,
you know what?
Too.
The Lakers had the best offseason this year, too. The Lakers really did.
Real stuff, though.
I'm
going to
put that
in
the air.
The Sixers, I would say the Sixers, Thunder, and Celtics had the best offseason,
yeah.
I would say.
I'd say Celtics are one for me.
Yeah, they're up there, definitely. I was thinking about
Lonnie
that today.
Walker's insane.
Well,
yeah.
It's just
insane.
The fact that we kept everybody. I mean, you got the JT deal done. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's close between Sixers, Celtics, and Nuggets or not Nuggets,
Thunder.
Sorry, Thunder. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would give it to Philly, just because they got Gershon Yabusele, who proved that he could still play in the NBA in the Olympics.
He's better. He's significantly better than he was on Boston. I mean, I remember watching him on Boston. He wasn't doing half of the stuff. He's completely changed his play style. He plays on the ball offensively now, which is completely different than what he used to be. He used to be just like a stretch four, sit in the corner. He was attacking the rim. I'd never seen him do that. I'd never seen him facilitate an offense, and I'd never seen him create his own shot ever in the NBA. He's slimmed down. He's much more athletic, and he's a steal. Maybe like one of the bigger steals of free agency.
Yeah.
Is one of the biggest.
I like the Andre Drummond dad too.
Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's a good
They got two really good vets. Andre Drummond can come in for when Joel Embiid's out and still be that big body that, you know, that they're that bench was missing without Embiid.
We were just talking about Reggie Jackson, too.
Yeah, I forgot he got bought out already.
Yeah, Philly looks really good.
Yeah.
They're going to be legit.
They will be good.
And the last thing, I put Chris Paul goes to the Spurs on a one-year deal. I've liked this That's for cute. The development of Wembanyama.
Yeah.
You know, Wemby didn't have a legit point guard last year. Now he's going to get, you know, the most point guard ever in Chris Paul. So I think those lob threats will be fun.
The point guard.
The point guard, Chris Paul.
The point guard, Chris
Paul. I like the addition. What do you guys feel about Chris Paul?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. Good little mentor for Wemby and all the other young guys they have on their team.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing crazy.
Develop Castle, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Forgot about him. Castle should be pretty solid.
Yeah, and we have a little bit more time, so I put a link in here to the NBA draft. We can go through some of our favorite picks, some of the brain scratchers, you know. We'll go through it, see what's popping with the draft.
We'll
so we can start with that first overall pick with Zachary Risache going to the Atlanta Hawks. It's caught a lot of hate. What do you guys think?
I don't know what they were doing, honestly. Yeah. I would have traded the pick.
Yeah, trade the freaking pick. Put it. You want to get rid of DeJounte so bad, trade it with DeJounte and get an all-star, dude.
Uh-huh.
Get a
I would have gotten Ingram at that point.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Why not, dude? They would have given him to it.
And now, I mean, Reese Hoshay literally averaged like 3.2 points per game overseas, and he came off the bench.
Because they would have went Risache too, the Pelicans.
Oh, the Pelicans, yeah.
Yeah, they would have. I think
or
they
Sar, because they need. They don't have a center right now. Daniel Tice.
I guess, but I mean, I just think they would need. Like, instantly need to fill the Brandon Ingram, like, wing scoring void. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, yeah, definitely.
They really don't need
point.
Brandon Ingram.
They don't really need him.
They don't.
I mean, and Trey Young with B.I. would be awesome.
Yeah, they'd be
because
filthy, yeah.
Risa Shea, no offense to him, it would be lucky to end up being as good as Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
I think that's not crazy to say, but... I don't think the Hawks got the best player in the draft with the number one pick. Nor do they have a good track record of developing wings.
Nope.
So it's like, I don't really know how good this will be for him. And then you already got Trae Young saying that he's a role player.
That was crazy. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Moving to the second pick, what do we think about Alex Sarr? I know he really struggled in the summer league. Obviously, it's probably won't be like that in the NBA. But do we think he'll develop?
Yeah. Yeah, Wemby was bad in the summer league too, and so was Chet.
Yeah, I think Sar's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's the most talented player in the draft.
Yeah,
I think he's got the highest ceiling in the draft.
For sure.
He's the only one that is like I feel like really will be an all-star. Like
he's the only one with superstar potential.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah.
But you know, the summer league opened my eyes. Like he could also just end up being a bust too. Like everybody in this draft could be a bust. But I am gonna stay positive with Sar. I think he'll end up being something good.
Yeah.
It's just. Stinks that he is in Washington.
Yeah, I agree. I was
great mentor and Jonas Valanciunas there.
Well, he was actually. I think he said he didn't want to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. He declined a workout.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Low key, like who do you think you are?
Yeah, like low key,
a,
like
and then B, like decline Atlanta so that you can like get locked into Washington.
That
nice.
Is
with
confusing.
Jonas Valanciunas
yeah,
starting
nice,
over
nice,
you.
Nice man. Yeah.
They would have traded to Clint
Real
Capella.
Smart move there.
Yeah.
Moving to the third pick, I don't remember who I was talking to about it. But somebody said they loved Reed Shepard to the Rockets.
He's good. He's real good.
Yeah, he's great.
He's legit. He's the best shooter in the class. And he goes to the Rockets, who are an up-and-coming team. And the Rockets have all the talent to be one of the top teams in the NBA within the next four or five years. Jalen Green and all these other guys. And you add Reed Shepard, who's a legit shooter. I love this for the Rockets. What do you guys think?
Yes, yeah, I think that's rookie of the year.
It's not crazy to say.
Because he's in the best position out of all the high draft
start,
picks. He's on the best team out of all the high draft picks. Even if he doesn't start, I don't think Rookie of the Year is going to be that competitive this year. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be like a Malcolm Brogdon, Michael Carter-Williams
type of
Rookie of the Year race. Reed Shepard can average like 9 points, 4 assists, and he could win it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're going to, yeah.
Which is probably what's going to happen. But I think Reed Shepard's really good already. Like, he's an instant impact kind of guy. Play good defense, and he can shoot the lights out. He's a great spot shooter and can create a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going to skip around a little bit and go to...
Bigger names.
Yeah, 16. We were just talking about Philly, and they land Jared McCain, who kind of forgot to talk about, but he was one of the bigger names coming out of this class. Really legit shooter, can create his own shot. And he goes to the Sixers, who really loaded up this season. I think he could be a great piece in the future. I'm gonna start with Caden as our Duke guy.
Jared McCain's awesome. He's cool. I don't like the 76ers, so that stinks. It sucks. They just keep getting better. They keep making good moves. Hopefully, for the sake of Jared McCain's career, he doesn't get shoved too deep into their bench, because I do feel like he's a little bit of a project player, which is a weird move for Philly to make here, because he's not going to get those reps early in his career. But hopefully Jared McCain can put in some work behind the scenes and then make a impact on the Sixers in a couple years.
I'm going to move to 32, where the Jazz draft Kyle Filipowski, another Duke guy. So I don't know obviously much about college basketball, and you know, if you're the Duke guy, like I said, how does this Kyle Filipowski thing, because I know he was touted to go a lot higher than 32, what do you think this does for Utah, and how do you feel about Kyle Filipowski?
Well, I think that the Jazz probably had the best best draft class.
Really?
I don't know how close it is either.
Cody Williams. Yeah.
They got Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier, and Kyle Filipowski.
Collier, yeah.
Collier's going to be, in my opinion, one of the steals of the draft.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
And then Filipowski was a lottery pick. Mm-hmm. Lottery pick talent at 32. He's a facilitating 7-1 center that can shoot from anywhere on the court,
mm-hmm.
And can defend well. So I see why he fell a little bit. You know, there was the off-the-court drama that teams weren't really crazy about. And then on top of that, I think athletically some teams see some red flags, but more than worth a second-round pick.
Yeah.
I think it would have been – I thought it was crazy that he was still on the board when it was in the early 20s, let alone day two. So,
Nick, I want to ask you about pick 27, where the Timberwolves draft Terrence Shannon Jr. How do you think he fits to the Timberwolves scheme in the future?
Future, he's going to be – it's going to be like a bench unit of him, Naz Reid. I think Dunham's going to start. So, them two, I think that's, you know, that's like on par with – I'm trying to think of a team – that's on par with, like, Nerlens Noel and Anthony Morrow in 2017.
Yeah. It's on par with, like, yeah. I was going to say, like, Anthony Morrow and Daquan.
Yeah, probably. I think Daquan Cooks, yeah, he's legit.
But, no, seriously, he's going to be really good. I remember whenever he got drafted, I was texting y'all about it, and I was mad that we didn't take Collier. But, like, I mean, Terrence Shannon's going to be a scorer. Like,
well, I think Collier and Rob are a little too similar together, too. Yeah.
I also like Terrence Shannon more than I like Collier. Terrence Shannon is so good at scoring. I think he was one of the top scorers in college, but he was the top scorer in college basketball.
He averaged 24 points a game. He's so old, good. So I get why he wasn't as high up, but he's an athletic bucket getter. I think that's what he's going to be in the NBA, too. I think he's just going to go out there and get buckets. Him and Rob both are instant offense. So, and I think Terrence Shannon's game, even more so than Rob, is more suited
for the NBA,
straight to the league. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Rob will develop and has more potential than TSJ. But I think right now, going into next season, I think TSJ could average, you know, up to 8 points a game even for the Wolves next year.
Yeah.
Last thing, what kind of basketball podcast would we be without talking about Bronny James, right? Without talking about the Lakers.
Oh my gosh.
The Lakers take the son of LeBron James, Bronny James, at the 55th pick in the second round. You know, I feel like everybody knew it was going to happen. And I know what was his name? Was it Rich Paul was calling people?
Bronny will not be playing in the gym.
Exactly. He will be starting for the Lakers
this
year.
He's already on like an $8 million fully guaranteed deal.
It's crazy.
That's a 55th pick.
So how do we feel about Bronny going to the Lakers? Because, I mean, you know, it's, you know, his dad plays there or whatever. Do we think he will actually be serviceable?
No, absolutely not.
No, but they're going to play him. They're going to play him. They have to.
Good.
They have to play him.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all hoping that.
He's not serviceable. Yeah. He's not. I don't know. I think he's the worst player in the NBA.
By far.
Wow.
I think.
By far.
I don't think it's close. Like, he's the most. I don't know. There's nepotism everywhere in the world, kids. You know? Like, sometimes a guy's going to get a job over you that maybe doesn't deserve it. And this is a case of that. And it stinks for Bronny because he's going to get a lot of hate. But he might as well take the opportunities that he has. Like, sure, he probably should have went back to college. But if I have the choice, and I know that, you know, given my circumstance, I'm going to get a guaranteed deal even as the 55th pick in the draft, I would take it too. So nobody would do anything differently if they were in Bronny James's shoes, but it just stinks that he has to be the one that goes through it. And it sucks that he gets the bulk of the criticism from the media and not, you know, like Rich Paul, someone that deserves it because he's in his ear, mm-hmm. telling him you're too good for the G League, you're too good to stay in college, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
he's gonna play like he's. This is what's gonna happen is he's gonna have like two games. He's gonna have two games where he plays awful, and the Lakers fans are gonna boo him off the court, and then he's gonna go to the G League, and then, I mean, that's how it went with Westbrook. You know,
why not? But like, why even act like he's too good for the G League? I hate that approach so much. There's top five picks that go down and play in the G. There's superstars that today come back from an injury and practice with the G League. Acting like you're above a developmental program when you just come off averaging 4 points a game off the bench on a bad college team, it's pretty wild. And it's pretty wild that his team is taking that approach. And I think it's already, like I said, shattered the image of Bronny James like as a player and as a person a little bit, mm-hmm. which isn't fair to him because I'm sure he's a cool dude. Yeah. You know?
Probably a chill dude. But, you know, he's no Daquan Cook. That's all we have for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM and the Full Court Press Podcast. It was an amazing first episode back. So we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.